From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Among the many approaches to the housing crisis is a proposal in Sacramento that would do a couple of things. Require landlords to offer 18-month leases, require mediation if rent is increased more than 6%, and the plan includes a grant for the group Sacramento Self-Help Housing. This proposal was in committee yesterday. Cap Radio's senior editor of news and features, Nick Miller, is in the studio to give us an update and explain it in more detail. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Glad to have you here. So this is called the Tenant Protection and Relief Act. And is that the goal, to protect tenants and give them some relief?
That's part of the goal. And most notably, the requirement that landlords must offer tenants an 18-month fixed lease agreement. That's something new for Sacramento. Frankly, it's not something that I've seen in other cities throughout California that have rent control policies. So what it would mean is, if you own property, if you're a landlord, you have to offer a tenant an 18-month lease. The tenant does not have to accept that. And there's also, you can mutually agree on a 12-month lease or a longer lease. But that, what council members are saying, this sort of gives renters some breathing room to say, okay, I'm locked in for 18 months. I can't see a rent increase during those 18 months. And it gives them some sort of consistency and something sort of firm to say, okay, I'm going to have this rent at least for a year and a half.
Could the conversation, though, go something like, landlord says, I'm going to offer you an 18-month lease. Tenant says, I don't really want that. I'm in the process of buying a house. I'd rather go month to month. Landlord has the freedom to say, okay, we can go month to month.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Why 18 months? Where did that come from?
I think it's just a number. So this was sort of conceived by three council members, Hansen, Jennings, and Guerra. And that's just sort of a good number. It's, you know, typically leases are 6 to 12 months. So this gives tenants a little bit of a longer lease, a little bit of an opportunity to say, okay, I don't have to worry about my rent going up for a year and a half.
There are a couple other components. Because you mentioned Steve Hansen, I want to get to a bit of sound from him. He's on this committee that met yesterday. He's been a real mover in this arena of coming up with solutions for the housing crisis. Here he is talking about a rent cap.
There's an alternative out there that is going to potentially be on the ballot that would cap rents. This does not cap rents. This says if you go over 6%, the tenant has a choice about whether you go to mediation. And if the increase is valid because you've been below market or you have to do renovations or some other costs, then it'll be upheld. And that's the whole point, is to have that dialogue.
He addressed a couple things there.
He did. So first, when he's talking about that alternative rent cap that's out there, he's talking about the Sacramento Renter Protection and Community Stabilization Charter Amendment.
Wow.
Big. Otherwise, this is going to be on the ballot in 2020. City voters will chime in on whether they want to limit the amount that property owners and landlords can increase the rent, commensurate with the cost of living adjustment or the consumer price index. So that would mean rent increases might be 3%, might be 2.5%. In 2017, that would be limiting rent increases to just 2.5%.
Hmm.
So I think it's the thinking, you know, the council members, the mayor just say that's unworkable. You know, the property owners need to be able to raise the rent more if they're doing investments in the property, et cetera, et cetera. So they proposed this alternative mediation program and rent cap.
We do have another council member also on the committee, also very involved in the housing issues, Eric Guerra, talking about the mediation and the costs of it. So let's listen to that.
It'll be paid for by the landlords. So the landlords will be the ones that are as participating in the program. They're the ones who are going to fund the program and the build out as well.
All right. So that's an aspect of it that could get some pushback from landlords. But the point here is to help avoid these unsubstantiated and random rent increases that are more astronomical than a few percentage.
Sure. It gives tenants and renters recourse to say, oh, my gosh, you're raising my rent more than 6%. I want to have a discussion about this. I don't think that's fair. So the mediation process, which it's important to point out, is non-binding, and it's mandatory for the property owner landlord, but not for the renter. They're talking about working with students at McGeorge School of Law who would be conducting the mediation, and they would explore whether it's fair or unfair that the rent is going up more than 6%. But
wait,
like I said,
fair or unfair is one thing. If it's found to be unfair, can the landlord still go ahead with the larger percent increase?
Yes, they can, because it wouldn't be a binding process.
So no teeth in the whole process.
That's what critics say. You know, and they're just saying that this is not real renter protections. They say tenant protections, and they hold up quotation marks. So they don't feel this is tough enough to really give renters, you know, some relief.
Because you're saying that, let's jump ahead to Michelle Parisette and her effort with the ballot measure that you mentioned. And she, in what we're about to hear, is speaking to this plan that is going through committee in comparison to the ballot measure.
This seems like it's an attempt to undermine the Sacramento Community Stabilization and Fair Rent Charter Amendment initiative. And I hope that we can actually work together on this and not just have this be put up as some way to undermine the initiative.
It sounds like everybody's trying to work on it, but the directions they're going are in some instances very different.
Yeah, so Michelle Parisette's with Housing for Sacramento, the group that helped co-sponsor the ballot measure for 2020. And she actually accused the council members last night of not reaching out to them in discussions to sort of craft their alternative proposal. And then she accused them of trying to undermine the ballot measure. And she, during her comments, called council members Guerra, Hansen, and Jennings' proposal meaningless. Quote, meaningless. That's the word she used. She said it's meaningless tenant protections. So, and even, you know, you can sense that there's this sort of simmering battle on the horizon after the election when Mayor Steinberg decides to bring renter protections back to council for a larger discussion. You can sense that this is sort of brewing.
Say something about where the mayor is on this. This is an alternate proposal to where the mayor started. And you're right. He did say, because of Prop 10 being on the statewide ballot, he didn't want to address city ordinances until after voters weighed in across the state.
Correct. Yeah. He wants to focus on the outcome for Prop 10 and then Measure U. And he's called the Housing for Sacramento ballot measure that will be on the ballot in 2020 or scheduled to be voted on in 2020. He's called it a threat. And specifically what he doesn't like is the idea that there would be just cause protections. And just for some clarity, just cause means that you can't just evict a tenant for no reason. Right now in Sacramento, you can evict a tenant for anything. But let's say if you evicted a tenant for, I want to make repairs to a building or a property, or I want to move in as a property owner, you would have to pay relocation assistance. And that could look like at least $5,500 for an individual living in a one-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. So the mayor said that's too extreme rent control. We can't have that in Sacramento. We can't have a 9-member elected rental housing board that would set rental rates. He doesn't want to see those things. So he's sort of embracing the council member's proposal. He also wants to see more policy that would make it easier to build affordable housing, sort of, they say, cutting the red tape back and, you know, making it to incentivize developers to build more affordable housing.
What's the sense of what happens if Prop 10 doesn't pass or if Prop 10 does pass? What happens to Sacramento's ordinance efforts and everybody trying to get on the page and create something?
It does and doesn't have an impact. It does because the ballot measure for 2020, suddenly the stakes are even higher.
It stays no matter what happens.
Yes, that stays on the ballot for 2020 no matter what. But then it would also apply to apartments and multifamily housing that was built after 1995. So suddenly you have 23 years worth of housing that hadn't applied to rent control, hadn't had to worry about rent control, that would now the property owners would be vulnerable to having to give these tenants this type of relief.
Let me circle all the way back around to that first statement about the fact that this proposal went into committee yesterday, this Tenant Protection and Relief Act. What happened in the committee and where does it go from here?
It was moved forward for a full vote and discussion at City Council. There were other considerations, how to pay for money, $100,000 for Sacramento Self-Help Housing. And that's sort of a really great organization that's been helping low-income tenants, homeless individuals, like sort of know their rights when it comes to being a renter. And if they're in a situation where they're facing an extreme or skyrocketing rent increase, they're the ones on the front lines who are educating and working with renters. And the city wants to support that. They're sort of grateful for that. And they sort of recognize that the city hasn't really done its part in being that ambassador and educating the tenants. So they want to give $100,000 in a one-time general fund expenditure to help that process and help with the education. So I think there's a greater discussion. It comes after the election. I imagine it will happen in late November, early December.
And there's room here to create sort of a new recipe. For example, maybe everybody likes that $100,000 grant to Sacramento self-help housing. So that becomes part of the recipe. Maybe the mediation goes away. Maybe something that the mayor suggests. Do I have that right, that we could end up with some version that isn't at all exactly one of those on the table now?
I agree. It's really fluid. And it's also important to point out two things. One, that you have council members who don't see that, you know, rent increases are a problem now. We had council member Jay Chenier say last night that he'd spoke to apartment owners who are only raising the rent 3% now. So maybe the market is adjusting or settling in. And then, of course, you have the renter advocates who feel that these proposals by the council members are, frankly, a non-starter and it's not true tenant protection. So, like I said, it's simmering. There's going to be some intense discussion through the end of the year.
Okay. The first step is voting between now and November 6th, because Prop 10 and other ballot measures and ordinances across the state will make some initial decisions and will kind of get the flavor of how much voters want to do right now and in what directions.
And it's difficult to sense, really. There's a lot of money going into the No on 10 effort. It's difficult to sense whether the renter advocates have the strength to sort of educate the voters on what they want from Prop 10. So we need to see how this plays out on election day. You're totally right.
Always a pleasure. Glad to have you in the studio, Nick. Thank you so much. Nick Miller is Cap Radio's senior editor of news and features. You can find more about this particular aspect of the story and, of course, much more background about California's housing crisis at capradio.org. This is Insight on Cap Radio.